This is News Director Larissa Donovan, and joining me on the phone is Michael Milhouse, who was the Ward 1 council member, but this time he's running for mayor. How's it going, Michael?
Good. How are you, Larissa?
Oh, just peachy. Before we get started with the hard and heavy questions, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, some of your background, how long you've been in Bemidji, and how long you've been on the council?
Certainly. I first came to Bemidji in the fall of 2007 when I was a freshman at Bemidji State University. And during that time, I got involved with the Bemidji State Student Senate. And ultimately, I was elected co-president my senior year. And one of the things that as co-president I did was we would go to city council meetings and provide an update on what was happening on campus. And then we had a city council member at the time who would come to our student senate meetings and talk about what was going on in the city. And it was a great partnership. And after I graduated college, I knew Bemidji was a place I wanted to make my home. So I got a job, job after graduation. And then I was encouraged to run for the city council by some community members at the time. So I ran for Ward 1 City Council in 2012 and was elected. And besides that, my day job is I am an academic advisor at Trek North High School. I also am the head coach of their Nordic ski team. And I love being active in the community, whether it's running or Nordic skiing, biking, just getting out and enjoying everything in the outdoors.
So what made you want to run for mayor this year?
Well, you know, I think first it's important to know what the mayor does. And officially, the mayor, it's an equal voting member of the city council. They run the meetings, they sign the official papers, and they're the city's biggest cheerleader. And I think people who know me would, I don't think that they would argue that I'm one of the biggest cheerleaders for Bemidji. But one of the big reasons that I decided to run for mayor is because I think there's a lot of unofficial duties of the mayor. And most importantly is I see the mayor as somebody who sets the tone for community discussion. They listen to community input on issues. They do their homework. They mediate differing opinions. And ultimately, they help the rest of the city council find a consensus to make policy. There's a lot of new people running for city government this year, which is really exciting to see. And there's definitely going to be a couple brand new people to the council, regardless of how the elections turn out. And I believe that cities like Bemidji are ultimately better when their elected officials can work together as a team. And I believe that as mayor, I have that ability to bring a group of unique people together to create a team and really help improve our community.
All right. So my next few questions concern some specific city issues. And as you know, the city is non-taxable land and property. So a significant burden to operate the city falls on the remaining city property taxpayers. What solutions do you think would solve this problem? And do you support a hospitality or sales tax to relieve some of that burden, especially for the costs of the Sanford Event Center?
Yes. So like you were mentioning, about roughly 50%, give or take, of the city is tax-free, and that's educational institutes like Bemidji State University or Bemidji School District, that's hospitals like Sanford Health, it's nonprofits, it's churches, it's a lot of things that bring a lot of value to our community. The challenge, though, is that cities have essential services that they need to provide, water, sewer, police, fire, and then also amenities like parks or an event center in our case. And so it's important for cities like Bemidji, and there's more cities like us in greater Minnesota, to have alternate funds to help support these city services. We rely a lot on local government aid, which is money from the state of Minnesota, which is given to communities to help cities just like Bemidji that have a lot of non-taxable properties. And that's something that for years has been underfunded. Just last year, it was renewed to the high water mark, which was set in 2002. Now, we know money from 2002 is not necessarily the same amount of money in 2020. So we continue to work with groups like the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities to improve and increase local government aid from the state of Minnesota. We've also talked about, as a council, how can we take care of some of our regional amenities with regional dollars. And so one example would be we were looking at a sales tax looking at doing a small sales tax increase to help support the Sanford Center and specifically capital improvements at the Sanford Center. Because again, that is a regional amenity that should be supported regionally. It's not fair that the burden falls just on property taxpayers. And that plan got put on hold, obviously, because of COVID, but it's something that I think the city needs to look at again, because again, this is a city that the property taxes, it's just not fair that all this burden falls on property taxpayers. Specific with the event center, most other cities in Minnesota that have event centers, they typically have a hospitality or a sales tax to help support that, the operations of that. So it's something that Bemidji needs to look at because it's the right thing to do.
All right. My next question is on that Highway 197 business corridor. MnDOT plans to work on that stretch of highway in a few years here, and the plan for multiple roundabouts was famously scrapped. What do you think should happen there to improve safety while maintaining accessibility?
Well, I know that MnDOT is going to be going back to the drawing board, which is pretty good. And they met with the city council about a couple months ago now.
Was it? It feels like years ago.
It certainly does. So they met with the council, and they kind of wanted to seek some input from us to how could they go about their planning differently. And I think they're going to definitely look at doing more community input. Now, when I think of community input, it's not just the businesses that are right along that corridor. I think a lot of it will depend on everyone uses that corridor, so one way or another. So you've got a lot of people that live just outside of that corridor, too. So I think that their voices are going to be just as important in deciding what that corridor looks like. I was personally in favor of the roundabouts, as I think some people in this community might know. But ultimately, I want to support a community vision for that project. And I think it's important for the community to be able to look at the long-term benefits and not get sensationalized or not fall into some of the sensationalism that I saw on social media about it. Ultimately, I look at that corridor as we could redo it as it is and it would be perfectly fine, but we have an opportunity once every 30 or so years to say, you know, how can we make this better? And I think maybe it's roundabouts in some locations, maybe it's not as many as they were proposing, but I think there's a good opportunity for some community conversation going forward to decide how can we make that corridor better.
All right. My next question is on the city's drinking water. The system needs an expensive fix, and without legislative help, that burden will likely fall to utility repairs. What are your thoughts on the project and possible funding solutions?
Yes. So there's our water treatment plant out at the airport. There's few things that are more essential to a city than clean drinking water. Now, the city council first learned about these PFAS chemicals in our drinking water and the issues they were causing back in 2017. And immediately we directed staff to look into different options. We looked into digging new water wells and a couple other things, but ultimately we decided on a treatment plant because besides making sure our drinking water is safe, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, they want us to help get this out of the ground. So if it's just left there, ultimately
it'll plume out,
flows to Lake Bemidji and the Mississippi River, and it's just better for the environment if we can take that stuff out. So we've been planning on a water treatment plant that just this past week, at the time of this recording, we approved the bids for the construction of the short-term treatment plant. And what that'll do is that'll get a plant constructed by hopefully the end of this year. That will make sure that our drinking water falls under those safe guidelines from the public health and the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. We have a bonding request at the state, and hopefully they're going to have a special session soon that will determine if there is a bonding bill or not. And again, this goes back to our previous topic. This is our water. It's not just the people who live in city limits that drink and use our city's water. This is a project of regional importance, and it should be supported with regional or, in this case, state funds. So we're hoping to get there's one proposal for $8 million for the water treatment plant. There's another for that we would get $12 million from the state of the estimated estimated it's going to be about $16 million total when all is said and done. So the rest will have to be probably from water utility rates. And ultimately, the goal is to not have to raise those utility rates as much as we would have to if we didn't get these state dollars. I know our city finance director is working on, I'll call them the worst case scenarios of if there is no bonding dollars, how else could the city pay for these needed treatment plants without having to raise utility rates 20-30% at a time. So I'm hoping we don't have to go down that road, but it's important to be working with our state legislators to make sure that we get that bonding money.
All right. And my next couple of questions concern some current events. Recent events in the city and state have highlighted the issues of racism and distrust of the government. What would you do as a council member, mayor, to improve race relations and trust?
Well, obviously, I'm running for mayor, but this is an issue that being on council right now, this is something that we need to address. And I think mayors and city councils, we need to be able to rise to this moment. And personally, what I've been personally lamenting the last couple of weeks is there have been other moments in this community that we've let slip away to have a real good dialogue on racial injustice in our community, whether it was Charlottesville or the Vernon May shooting or even the refugee vote to an extent this past January. And so right now, in my role as not just a city council member and somebody running for mayor, but as someone who is, I'm a white male, and I think my role right now is to listen to people. And that's something that I've been trying to do a lot. And as this conversation continues to evolve, I'm hoping that from these conversations and these listening, me listening, that I can eventually work work with our partners, not just at the city, but partners in law enforcement and social services and economic development and more, and see what policy changes can we make to make this community a more welcoming and fair place. And I think this isn't a dialogue that's going to be that's going to happen quickly. I think it's going to take a lot of time. I'm certain that there will be some hard truths to swallow and some hard changes that have to make. But again, I really think it's important to rise to this moment, and I'm personally determined to make sure that it doesn't slip away like other opportunities have.
All right, my final questions on COVID-19. While many businesses are beginning to reopen to closer to normal capacity, what do you think the city council's role should be in public health emergencies?
You know, I think our role for public health emergencies like COVID-19, it depends. There's been a couple different things. You know, one that comes to mind is that we don't have a public health director on our city staff. The county does. And so we've taken a lot of cues from the public health director at Beltrami County and Sanford Health to kind of help us craft whatever changes we've needed to make. But a lot of what's been happening really comes from the governor on down. So whether it was closing these businesses or slowly reopening, a lot of that comes from the governor, and we're just, in a way, bystanders. But that doesn't mean that we can't be prepared and help out where we can. One example is we're working with Sanford Health as our cases arise in the area. And one example is that of that partnership is we're hoping we don't need it, but the Sanford Center is prepped for additional hospital space if it comes to that as we go through the summer and go towards our forecasted peak in August and September. Obviously, as businesses start to reopen, we've tried to do what we can to help our businesses stay on their feet and recover, with one example being we expanded our city loan program, which a couple businesses have taken advantage of. But then other things like helping set up outdoor seating for our restaurants downtown, which so far I've heard nothing but positive comments. I really think that would be cool. I think this is an opportunity to do something like this every summer.
Very European.
Yeah. It's just fun. And, you know, we have such beautiful summers up here in northern Minnesota, even though they can be short. And it's, how can we take advantage of this time? And I think whether it's allowing restaurants to have outdoor seating or maybe we, and there was a proposal to make Beltrami in Minnesota one-way streets or even potentially close off a couple blocks and make it pedestrian only. I think those are things that would be really cool for this community. The challenge is we want to support these downtown businesses, and I think we just want to, if we want to do something big like that, we want to make sure that they're all on the same page, as well as the people who live downtown, because there are hundreds of people who live downtown. In the future, you know, as we start to come out of COVID, I think about economic development, and we've got almost $1 million in revolving loan funds and economic development dollars at the city that has really just kind of been sitting there. And this is a this time now more than ever, we need to make sure that that money is getting out into the economy. And it's not just loans too. Talking to business owners that a lot of these programs are great, but ultimately it's more money that they have to pay back. We've done things like small business development grants for the downtown that through the state that businesses get to improve their business. And then if they meet certain conditions, they don't even have to pay it back. And we've talked before our community development director left, Steve Jones, he talked about creating a program that would use interest from some of those economic development dollars to create grant programs like to help these businesses maybe expand a little bit or spruce up. And he said, you know, this is a great opportunity because a lot of times you give a downtown business a $2,000 grant to redo their door, but really they're using that and doing about $10,000 to $20,000 of other improvements into their business downtown. And that just spruces up the whole downtown and makes it a place to be. It really makes it the center of our community.
All right. So before we wrap this up, is there anything that we didn't touch on that you wanted to be sure we mentioned?
You know, I think one of the other big, it kind of ties into some of the things you've talked about, but as mayor, I really want to work on building trust in city government. And there's definitely going to be a new Ward 1 city council member, a new Ward 2. There's a lot of people running for council and mayor. And so I think as mayor, ultimately, I want to work with city council members new or returning on what are their priorities, because everyone's going to have different priorities. Everyone wants to improve their community. And ultimately, as mayor, my responsibility is to kind of bring that group together and build a team. I think about communication. How can we improve telling what is going on in the city, what the city government and city officials are trying to do? And I think things, it can be as simple as we need to improve our audio and visual in our council chambers during meetings and making sure that people can hear us when they're watching us on a live stream or on TV. Might be something old school like a mailed newsletter with your utility bills, similar to what the county does. And even though social media I view as a bit of a double-edged sword, I think we need to be more active and have more social media presences. Because I think, you know, you look at events of the past couple weeks, and I don't think it's right that it's the mayor's personal Facebook page or the police chief's kind of trying to run his own official Facebook page. We need to have kind of a central hub or almost a chief communications officer for the city. But ultimately, the mayor and the city council, we're not far away representatives like elected officials in Washington, D.C. or St. Paul are. We're literally your next-door neighbors. And I know everyone who's running for one of these positions, we all just want to try and make our community a better place to live. And so I think when people have that trust in city government, I think we're just a better city overall.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael Mealhouse, for mayor.